Okay, welcome. This deep dive is tailored just for you, where we dig into your sources and pull out the really key stuff, make it easy to understand.
And today, we're really focusing in on B2B email marketing metrics, thinking about 2025 and beyond.
Right. And the source material we've got, it's this really insightful article. It kind of gets straight to the heart of it, how we measure success in B2B email. It's fundamentally changed.
Yeah, it really has. The old reliable metrics, they just aren't cutting it anymore.
Exactly. The article flags this core problem, these traditional measures, especially, you know, open rates. They're super distorted now.
Totally. You've got all sorts of things interfering. Privacy features, like from Apple Mail, image blocking in some clients, even security bots.
Mm.
They're all triggering false positives, messing up the data.
It sounds like trying to use a compass that just spins randomly sometimes. The number you think is telling you something reliable isn't.
Pretty much. So our mission here is to really unpack this article, figure out why those old numbers are broken.
Yeah, and then focus on what metrics actually tell you something useful for B2B campaigns now, and importantly, how you can, you know, use that data.
We'll guide you through it. Pull out the most important insights from this material, sort of walk through it together.
Okay, let's start with that big shift, the open rate obsession. It used to be the number, didn't it? The first thing everyone looked at.
Oh, absolutely. It was the main KPI. But the article argues, pretty convincingly, I think, that it's time to retire it as the primary metric.
And the main reason is those privacy features you mentioned.
That's a huge one. Apple's mail privacy protection is a prime example. It preloads images and tracking pixels automatically.
So the email arrives, a server somewhere fetches the pixel, and boom, it registers as an open, even if the person never actually looked at it.
Exactly. So you get these inflated numbers, just completely artificial opens.
Okay, so that pushes the numbers up. But you also mentioned image suppression.
Right, because it can cut both ways. Some email clients still block images by default. And since those tracking pixels are often tiny, invisible images.
Ah, someone could genuinely open and read the whole thing, but if that pixel doesn't load, it doesn't count as an open.
Precisely. So you could be undercounting real engagement in those cases. It's unreliable in both directions.
That just makes it even harder to trust. And then there are bots.
Yeah, security scanning bots, especially in like enterprise environments. They scan incoming emails for malicious stuff, and that scanning process can trigger the tracking pixels too.
So more false opens, this time from automated security systems, not even the recipient's device.
Correct. So when you look at that final open rate number, it's this messy mix, isn't it? Maybe some real human opens, maybe some Apple privacy triggers, maybe some suppressed legitimate opens, and a load of bot scans.
It's less a measure of actual interest and more just digital noise, like the article says.
Exactly. And that digital noise, that ambiguity, it's really costly in B2B. Sales cycles are long. There are multiple stakeholders.
Yeah.
You need to know if your message is actually landing or just getting lost.
Okay, so it's clear open rates are problematic. What's the alternative then? Where does the article suggest we shift our focus?
It's a really fundamental shift. Moving away from just, did someone see it, maybe, to what did someone actually do? It's all about behavior, action-based metrics.
Behavior. Okay, that makes sense. Let's get into those. What's the first one we should be looking at?
Well, the most basic action metric is probably the click-through rate, CTR.
Okay, CTR. What exactly is that measuring?
Simply the percentage of people who received your email and clicked on a link inside it, any link.
And why is that so much more valuable than an open?
Because a click is a conscious action. It shows intent. Someone read enough or saw enough to be interested and actively chose to learn more. That's a real signal.
Right. It's not passive. So how do we actually use CTR data? It's not just about watching the number go up or down, is it?
No, definitely not. You use it comparatively. Compare CTR across different audience segments, who's responding best. Compare it across different types of content, what topics are hitting home.
Ah, so you can see, like, if emails about product updates get more clicks than, say, company news.
Exactly. Or you A-B test things, different calls to action, button colors, link placement, even visual layouts. See what drives more clicks. It helps you prioritize what resonates.
Okay, that's practical. Now, the article also mentions a related one. Click to open rate, CER. How's that different?
Yeah, CTR is the percentage of people who opened the email, however that open was measured, and then clicked a link.
Hmm. Okay, so what extra insight does that give us?
It helps isolate the effectiveness of the email's content and design, separate from the subject line or timing that might have influenced the open. It tells you, of the people who did see your email, How compelling was it?
I see. So CTR is about the overall journey, subject line, preview text, then content leading to a click. CTR zooms in on just the content's power once it's viewed.
Precisely. The article suggests using CTR to fine-tune your internal message, your layout, where you put that main call to action button. You can test plain text versus HTML emails with it, see which format gets more clicks from the people who are actually seeing it.
Okay, interesting distinction. Moving further along, conversion rate. This sounds like where we start tying things to real business goals.
Absolutely. This is critical. Conversion rate tracks the percentage of recipients who clicked a link and then completed a specific goal you've defined.
A specific goal? What kind of goals are we talking about in B2B?
Well, that's key. The article stresses defining meaningful goals, not just any click. Things like requesting a demo, downloading a key asset like a white paper, registering for a webinar, filling out a contact form.
Actions that clearly signal buying intent, basically.
Exactly. And the crucial part is connecting these conversions to actual sales pipeline stages in your CRM, tying it to, say, becoming a marketing qualified lead, MQL, or even the sales qualified lead SQL.
And the article mentions micro and macro conversions.
Yeah, that's a good point too. Track the big ones, the macro conversions like a demo request, but also maybe smaller steps, micro conversions like visiting a pricing page after clicking. It all builds a picture.
So conversion rate tells us if the email is actually driving actions that matter to sales and the bottom line. What about taking that even further to actual revenue, RPE?
Revenue per email, yes. This is often seen as kind of the ultimate metric if you can track it. It calculates the actual revenue generated from an email campaign divided by the number of emails you sent in that campaign.
Wow, okay, that directly ties email effort to dollars and cents. How feasible is tracking that for most B2B companies?
It definitely requires solid integration between your email platform, your marketing automation, and your CRM or sales system. You need to be able to connect a closed deal, or at least influence pipeline value, back to specific email interactions.
But if you can track it.
Oh, it's incredibly powerful. The article suggests using RPE to decide where to allocate budget. If one type of campaign or one audience segment consistently delivers higher RPE, you double down on that. It really justifies email's contribution.
Yeah, that's a metric that would definitely get leadership's attention. Okay, one more behavior metric mentioned is engagement score or lead scoring.
Right. This is more dynamic. It's usually a point system where you assign different values to different actions a prospect takes from your emails and often across other marketing channels too.
So clicking a link might be 5 points, filling out a form is 20, requesting a demo is 50, something like that.
Exactly. You weight the actions based on buying intent. Clicking the blog link is interest, sure, but clicking the request a quote link is much stronger intent.
And the value here is for sales prioritization.
Hugely. It helps sales instantly identify who the warmest leads are based on their accumulated score. They can tailor their outreach, knowing this person hasn't just opened an email, they've clicked specific links, downloaded assets, maybe visited the pricing page.
It paints a much richer picture of engagement than just a list of clicks.
Absolutely. And you can automate things based on score thresholds. Mm. Trigger nurture emails. Send alerts to sales reps when someone hits a certain score.
Mm.
You also need to review it, see who's going cold, who needs re-engagement.
Okay, so these behavior metrics, CTR, CTR, conversion rate, RPE, engagement score, they really give you a much more actionable view of what's working.
Definitely. A much more accurate picture than just looking at opens.
But the article also makes a strong point that none of this stuff works if the basics aren't right, the foundational element.
Oh, absolutely critical. You can have the best content and tracking in the world, but if your list is garbage or your emails don't get delivered, it's all for nothing. List health and hygiene are paramount.
What are the key things to watch there? What submetrics does the article highlight?
Several key ones. Bounce rate is big. That's the percentage of emails that just couldn't be delivered. High bounce rate means invalid addresses, old data. You want that low. Ideally under 2%.
Okay, under 2% bounce. What else?
Unsubscribe rate. People actively opting out. Some churn is okay, it's natural, but if it spikes, it might mean you're sending too much or the content isn't relevant anymore. Aim for under, say, 0.3%.
Right. And the really bad one, spam complaints.
Yeah, that's the killer. People hitting the mark as spam button, that tanks your sender reputation fast. You need to keep that incredibly low, like under 0.1%. Very damaging.
And tracking inactive subscribers too, people who just stop engaging.
Yes, monitoring those who haven't opened or clicked in maybe 60, 90 days, whatever threshold makes sense for you.
So how do you use this data? What are the actions?
It's about maintenance. regularly cleaning your list, removing those hard bounces, using re-engagement campaigns to try and win back the inactive ones, or respectfully letting them go if they don't respond. Being super careful about list sources, especially third-party ones, maybe have an engagement check before fully adding them.
Makes sense. Foundational hygiene. What about list growth rate? That sounds more positive.
It is. That's your net growth, new subscribers, minus the unsubscribes and bounces. It shows if your top-of-funnel efforts are working, if you're attracting the right audience, healthy growth is a good sign.
So you're not just managing the existing list, you're actively growing it with interested people.
Exactly. The article suggests looking at where the growth comes from, which channels, which sign-up forms, and aligning your list growth targets with your overall demand generation goals.
Okay. And the last foundational piece, the one that underpins everything, deliverability.
Yep. Simply, what percentage of your emails actually reach the inbox versus getting caught in spam filters or blocked entirely? If deliverability is poor, nothing else matters.
How do we make sure emails actually get delivered?
There's technical setup involved, things like SBF, DKIM, DMRC. These are email authentication protocols that prove to receiving servers that you are who you say you are. That helps a lot.
So getting the tech right.
Definitely. But also, it comes back to list hygiene. Avoiding spammy content or subject lines, not having too many links, maintaining a good sender reputation. You should monitor your sender score if you can, and aim for deliverability rates consistently above 95%.
Okay, so we've got the action metrics telling us what people do, and the foundational metrics making sure our house is in order, emails are getting there, list is clean. How do we connect email's impact to the bigger business picture, like the sales pipeline?
Right, that's where attribution models come in. The article really pushes this idea that email can't be a silo. It's one piece of a complex B2B buyer journey. Attribution helps you understand and, crucially, demonstrate how email contributes to moving prospects along that journey.
And this needs technology to work, right? Your email system talking to your CRM.
Oh, absolutely essential.
Yeah.
With that integration, you can start applying different models, like first touch attribution. Did an email spark the initial interest that led to this lead? Or last touch, was an email the final interaction before they converted?
Or something in between. B2B is rarely just one touch.
Exactly. Multi-touch attribution is often more realistic. It looks at how a series of emails, maybe alongside website visits or ad clicks, influence the journey over time. It helps you see which emails build momentum, which ones nudge people closer to a sale.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense for showing emails value across the whole funnel. Now, we've covered a lot of metrics here. Behavior, foundational, attribution. It could feel overwhelming. How does the article suggest keeping track without getting lost in data?
It talks about creating a focused email performance dashboard. And the key idea is clarity, not clutter. Don't just track everything possible. Track the right things, the metrics that actually align with your specific B2B goals.
And it gives a simple structure for that, right? Like metric name, what it measures, and a target to aim for.
Yeah, having those targets is really helpful. It focuses the team. So for example, maybe you set a target CTR of over 2% or a conversion rate over 1.5% as your baseline.
And those list health targets we mentioned, bounce rate under 2%, spam complaints under 0.1%, unsubscribes under 0.3%.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Deliverability over 95%. List growth, maybe aiming for, say, 3% monthly, though that can vary a lot.
And things like revenue per email or engagement score thresholds might be more custom, depending on the business.
Right. Those often need to be tailored to your specific sales cycle, average deal value, and lead scoring model.
Okay, so pulling this all together, it really feels like the core message from this source is, if you're still primarily judging your B2B email success on open rates in 2025, you're basically flying blind.
That's a perfect way to put it. You're missing the real story. The key takeaways, the priorities highlighted in the article, are clear. Ditch open rates as your main KPI.
And instead, focus on those behavior metrics. Clicks, conversions, revenue, engagement scores, things people do.
Absolutely. And keep your foundation solid. Maintain a clean, healthy, growing list. Ensure high deliverability.
Use attribution to connect emails dots to the actual sales pipeline and revenue.
And constantly test. Test your messages, your calls to action, your segments, and refine based on the data from these more meaningful metrics.
It's really a shift from a passive, often inaccurate metric like opens to active metrics that show real engagement and link directly to business value.
Exactly. Success is defined by clicks, conversions, pipeline influence, and ultimately revenue contribution, not just potential visibility.
It's about understanding those prospect actions and aligning how you measure success so email becomes a proven, verifiable growth engine for the business.
A much smarter, much more strategic approach.
Definitely. So think about that. Success being defined by action and revenue. Here's something to chew on. What is the single most important action your B2B email program needs to drive today? Something for you to consider as you look at your own campaigns.